Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Problematic Sticker Anime Podcast. I am your host, Gary, and we're back after a very long hiatus due to, you know, things that happen in the real world. I wish we lived in the anime world, but we do not. Joining me, as always, are my co-hosts, Alfonso and Ben. Ben, how have you been?
Not bad, thank you. Not bad at all.
Good.
I've been.
You've been enjoying the rebirth life, huh?
Yes, it's been fun. The game is addictive. And it's very really anime.
Oh, very anime. I've learned this. I didn't notice it with the first game, with the remake. But in this one, I'm just like, man, it's really out there, huh? That, and I really dislike Sephiroth's voice. I don't know if it's just me, but I always feel like I'm just watching a porno every time he talks. So, I'm sorry. Like, of all the voice actors in that game, like, he sounds like, and I don't know if it's the actor or the direction the voice director wanted them to go in, but to me personally, he just sounds like a voice actor from, like, an anime made in the 80s or 70s. Like, that's the dub. Like, the dubs were just starting out. That's what it sounds like to me, personally. I don't know. But I always feel like he's hitting on me every time he's talking, and it's kind of awesome, in a way. But that's here and there. Alfonso, how have you been?
Yeah. I've been all right. A lot happened with me in the last 2 weeks, but we're back. I've been keeping up with anime. I'm watching the latest, hottest anime out that everyone's talking about. Ninja Kamui, which I really, really, really am enjoying. And it sucks that it's only exclusive to Adult Swim and Max next day. But I'm pretty sure, Gary, if you was watching this would be your recommendation. One day. Hopefully it comes to Crunchyroll, but yeah, really enjoying it.
I'll have to check it out. You talk about Crunchyroll, but I think more anime studios are trying to get away from Crunchyroll at this point.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are not happy with Crunchyroll. And we're going to talk about that right now, because Crunchyroll had their annual Crunchyroll Anime Awards, which featured some very famous people presenting awards, like Megan Thee Stallion and Mercedes. I forget her last name, but she was Sasha Banks in WWE.
Monet. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. But they had a lot of presenters there, and people did not come out very happy with these awards. And I don't know why, because these are fan-voted awards, so they only have themselves to blame. But we're going to talk about them. I'm going to breeze through a lot of these, but we'll talk about what some of them are that people were not happy about and what some that people were. All right, so Best Voice Artist Performance went to... Okay, they had various dubs from different countries here, so we'll just go with the English one, because, you know, we're English speakers. So the Best Voice Artist Performance went to Ryan Colt Levy, who performed the voice of Denji from Chainsaw Man. He was the winner for that award, so congratulations to him. Best Ending Sequence went to Akira of Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. You're going to be hearing this a lot with these awards. Best Opening Sequence also went to the Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. The Best Score went to Attack on Titan Final Season, Final Chapters Special 1. I don't even know which version of that this final season is. But I'm guessing it's the very
final
last
season,
one.
Part last final.
Seriously, the final season was like 5 years. So, but I can almost agree with this, because Attack on Titan actually does have a very, very good music. Best anime song went to Idol from Oshi no Ko. I don't really know what that is, but there it is. Must Protect at All Cost Characters, repeating her win from last year, is Anya Forger of Spy X Family Season 1 Course 2. So it's still season one, but the second part of season one. Best supporting character was Satoru Gojo, which again is Jujutsu Kaisen season two. Best main character of an anime. Always a strong listing of characters here, but taking this one apparently very easily, Monkey D. Luffy of One Piece taking reins once again here.
I mean, best it probably slice... helped with his. Sorry, yes. It probably helped with his new transformation to keep him that reward this year.
Is funny because so many people hated that transformation.
Yeah, but some people also. It was very popular as well, from what I heard.
It was very popular. It was
just a vocal amount of people disliked it.
Yeah. For those who want to know, he took the reins from characters. Other characters in the category were Bocchi from Bocchi the Rock, Denji from Chainsaw Man, Eren Yeager from Attack on Titan Final Season, Mob from Mob Psycho 100 Season 3, and Thorfinn from Vinland Saga Season 2. Best Slice of Life anime, Bocchi the Rock. Remember this, because Slice of Life animes are fun, and we might have to recommend this one.
Yes.
Best Drama went to Attack on Titan Final Season, Final Chapter, Special 1. Took the reins of that one. Best Fantasy Anime went to Demon Slayer, the Swordsmith Village arc. I don't even know if I consider Demon Slayer a fantasy.
Yeah, that's kind of hard.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's there. Best Action Anime went to Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. Best Comedy, Spy X Family Season 1, Course 2. That's also a very strong category there. Best Romance went to Horiyama, The Missing Pieces. I don't think we've ever watched any of these romantic or romance animes.
No.
Best Art Direction went to Demon Slayer, The Swordsmith Village arc. Best Cinematography, which was very interesting, went to Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. I fully expected that to go to Demon Slayer as well.
Yeah.
Best Director was Shoto Goshozono for Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. Best Character Design, Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. Best Animation went to Demon Slayer, The Swordsmith Village arc. So there's that again, that studio constantly winning that award. They do have amazing animation. Best Original Anime, this is fun, went to Buddy Daddies.
Yes.
Anime we watched won Best Original Anime this year. Best Film was Suzumi. I don't think I heard of that one. I've heard of a lot of the other ones, but I didn't even know there was a Psycho Pass movie. Holy shit. Okay. Best New Series went to Chainsaw Man. Gotta remember, these are awards given out for animes that I think came out last year, because they're going into season two of Chainsaw Man this year, so. Best Continuing Series. This one is also very interesting. From the categories, there's Attack on Titan, Demon Slayer, Jujutsu Kaisen, One Piece, Spy X Family, and Vinland Saga. The winner, surprising to me, was One Piece on this one. Seeing as how Jujutsu Kaisen had pretty much swept the awards this year. But One Piece taking Best Continuing Series this year. And, of course, the big winner here, the Anime of the Year, from the categories Bocchi the Rock, Chainsaw Man, Demon Slayer, Oshinoko, and Vinland Saga Season 2, along with Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2, with the winner being Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2, winning Anime of the Year. So, Jujutsu Kaisen, essentially sweeping the award. I think it only lost out, like, what, two awards that it was nominated in, won all the others. Alfonso, you watched Jujutsu Kaisen. Do you agree with this?
If you know what? This is this fan base. A lot of people are getting mad, but correct me if I'm wrong, and I think I'm remembering this correctly, but I think we had this same issue with Attack on Titans last year. Attack on Titans won a bunch of awards. it lost out too, and people complaining. You people vote for the damn anime. Stop complaining. Like me, it doesn't matter. I like the damn anime, but does it deserve all of it? No. Certain ones that you mentioned deserve all the animes deserve it, but I'm not the only one who voted. Thousands of people vote. They obviously, I don't think they're gonna rig the. They couldn't rig the damn vote system. But hey, it's there. Accept it. Move on. That's it. That's it. That's
the thing. Yeah, you know, you mentioned it. I find it funny. You know, you said it. You know, it's a voting. People voted for this. It's not like there's a panel of, you know, judges that vote for it. This is all voted on by the audience. So they voted for these winners. And that's the biggest problem, in my opinion, with these awards. Obviously, I haven't seen any of Jujutsu Kaisen, so I can't really say how fantastic it is. I've seen clips of it, and it looks really good. But I just feel like, as I've always said with a lot of these award shows, they're a popularity contest. People vote on what's the most popular thing, not necessarily what's the best thing. Because let's face it, I'm pretty sure a lot of people did not watch half of the animes that are listed here as much as they watched Jujutsu Kaisen and One Piece and Attack on Titan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, personally, I personally feel one of the best animes that I've watched last year that I haven't recommended because it is long was Vinland Saga. And the fact that it got robbed out of every award, it's one of the highest awarded animes in Japan. And it didn't win anything here. You know, what does that tell you? You know, when you have panel votes of industry veterans, people who actually know the industry, vote so much for some of these other animes, saying that these are the ones you should watch compared to what the audience are voting for. Can't really blame Crunchyroll for this because people should just blame themselves if they're not happy with the results because they're the ones who put in the votes. Ben, anything stand out for you? Anything you want to add to the Crunchyroll Awards?
Not really, just the fact that I expect Dragon Ball to win next year, probably.
You think so? Oh, it'll probably win for best new series, right?
New series and best character.
You think they'll give Goku best character again?
Yeah, Goku's going to get it by default. I'm sorry.
Just every time he shows up, he wins.
Yeah, it's Goku. There's a reason why those gacha games, when they make a new character, there's a Goku nearby soon. Because it sells.
It's true. You know, people talk shit on Dragon Ball a lot, compared to newer animes like One Piece and My Hero, and probably now Jujutsu Kaisen since it has gotten so popular. But Goku is essentially like Superman, right? Like, you say his name, you know exactly who he is, you know what his power is, and he's literally the most recognizable name in anime. Just like Superman is the most recognizable name in comics.
And I would say the only one that gets even close to him is Naruto. Like, I don't think he's on the same level, but Naruto is close.
Because I agree with you.
Yeah, and not, totally agree.
And it wouldn't just be, like, Naruto himself, but, like, the pose of Naruto, if you understand what I mean. Like, I saw Yuffie for the first time in Rebirth, and I'm like, oh, look, Naruto running. So I'm like...
Yeah? Wait, is it Naruto running, or is that just Kid Goku running?
Because
that was his run, too.
It was also Kid Goku, but Naruto kind of made it more of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's more associated nowadays with ninjas, so hence Naruto.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. I know a lot of people will say, like, Monkey D. Luffy is very recognizable. But in all honesty, let's face it, I don't think One Piece really took off or became famous until Naruto and Dragon Ball ended.
Yeah.
And there was a void to fill, and One Piece took that void. Is how I personally feel on that. And yeah, Luffy is recognizable, but if you go up to somebody, he's like, hey, do you know Monkey D. Luffy? They'll be like, what the fuck is that? You know, compared to if you say Naruto or Goku. We'll see what happens next year. Attack on Titan is done, so I doubt we'll see that next year in the awards. But I am surprised that a lot of animes didn't get you know, the recognition. Yeah. I think Bleach Thousand Year Blood Wars should have gotten a lot more recognition, because at least for the first season, you know, this season wasn't as big as when it started, but still really fucking good, in my opinion.
Did you guys get the email as well about the they're selling the movie? They're selling the physical version of Bleach.
Oh, no, I did not.
Yeah, I got an email saying that for $69, you can get the limited edition part one Blu-ray set.
Ooh, very nice.
Which is annoying for me, because I'm like, how much is it here? Great, $69, and it lists Amazon. is there a UK, is there an EU version or American only? Because I can't, if it's American, then it'll be a different region, right? So it wouldn't be worth it anyway.
Well, are they selling it through the Crunchyroll store?
You can buy on Amazon, Crunchyroll, or Target.
Well, Blu-rays aren't region locked, are they?
Blu-rays are region locked.
Are they?
I thought they were. I thought Blu-rays, like DVDs, are region locked.
Well, I don't know that.
Region. Yes, Blu-rays. Yeah, Blu-rays, just like DVDs, are region locked.
Okay. Damn, that sucks.
Region A are North, Central, South America, Japan, Korea, and Asia. Region B is Europe, Africa, Middle East, Australia, and New Zealand. Some Blu-ray players will allow you to switch regions, but if they have like a security lock on them, so that if you keep putting in different regions, it will then lock to that region after a certain amount of times, which will then stop you from being able to watch it from other regions. But anyway, it's a 2-disc Blu-ray set, 13 episodes. And includes a 72-page booklet. Ichigo explains, a promotional video, clean and the opening and ending, trailers, and the expo panel with Masakuru Morita. And it's $69 $62 on Amazon. There you go.
Well, I hope you're able to. I mean, can't you still watch it on your PS5? Because that doesn't block region lock stuff, does it?
I don't know if the PS5 has region lock on it. I don't know.
Because you can play Japanese games on it. There's no problem with that.
Yeah, but those don't have only movies have region lock.
That's some poop, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Did you know that movies?
I hope you're able to get it. I knew they used to be. I thought Blu-ray-wise they stopped region locking them.
Nah. It sucks.
I'm sorry. I hope they do release it in the UK then.
And I looked on Amazon.co.uk and there is nothing. So that sucks.
Damn.
I will buy that. Like, I don't buy physical media often, but I really
like that. I buy it for you, but if you have no way of watching it, like. Do you want me to get it for you? I can get it for you.
I could order it. Amazon allows me to ship it here. So even if I wanted to, I could order it. In case you want to have a look, let me put in general actually. Because look at this. I like the cover. It looks so cool. Let me put in general. For anyone else, you can check it on viz.com. There you go. That's what what you get.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a nice little collection. Like, that's a nice little physical. Mm-hmm. Again, yeah, I could order it from Amazon. They say they'll ship it here. So if I really wanted to, I could. But then it's a risk of if it would work. Yeah. But then I guess it doesn't really matter. I could just keep it sealed. I'm talking myself into buying it. Maybe I will buy it. Maybe I will. And the shipping's not bad. It's cheaper for me to ship it from Amazon than it would be for you. Because it's only $8 for the shipping on Amazon. So trust me, if you were shipping it, it would be like a bajillion dollars. So you've got till March 27th. That's when it's released. So.
All right.
I'm Gary. Gonna keep thinking about it.
Well,
sorry.
Staying on Crunchyroll, because it's been a while since we've been on, but should we talk about Funimation and how the app is closing down next month?
Yes, the app is closing down. Everything is obviously going to be Crunchyroll now. With some bad news for people, because this was addressed by Crunchyroll, but at first they said all your purchased movies and shows that you bought through Funimation are not going to transfer over to Crunchyroll. People are very angry, as they should be. this has since been addressed to some degree, but essentially what they said, it's digital copies that you got for free from purchasing the physical media. So movies that you bought or shows that you bought physically, you know, come with the digital code, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those won't transfer over to Crunchyroll. But things that you actually paid money for are going to. At least that's how I understood how they addressed that. There's now also rumors going on that Crunchyroll is looking into ways of allowing you to bring over all your stuff. But they haven't announced anything yet. But yeah, Funimation is done. And Crunchyroll is all that's going to remain. They're jacking up the price of Crunchyroll to, what was it, $100 a year now?
Yeah.
Which people will say that it's still a great value because he has so much anime. But just like they keep telling me that Amazon Prime is a great value at $150 a year, 99% of it is shovelware that I don't give a shit about watching. And there's a lot of shovelware in anime. Way more than people want to
believe. How much is Crunchyroll over there?
Right now, I think, what is it, $60 a year?
$60 a year.
And it's going up to $100 a year, which is a lot. You know, usually it's like, $10, $20 is the whole $40, $50 more in some region.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of people are upset because this is essentially, you know, the obviously there's more anime streaming services, but there's nothing like Crunchyroll now that owns such an insane amount of library. It's essentially a monopoly. And mm-hmm. people are saying that Crunchyroll can essentially do whatever the hell they want now, which is stupid because both Crunchyroll and Funimation are both owned by Sony, so technically Sony can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's exactly what they're doing, is whatever the hell they want. Which sucks. But, yeah, Alfonso, you brought this up. What else you want to add?
It sucks. I really hope they find a way to bring everything over. Like, right now, the only thing you get from Funimation, if you already have a Crunchyroll account, is that wherever you left off in terms of your watch views will transfer over. I don't care about that. I don't mind rewatching the thing over from the beginning. I don't need to be reminded where I left off. Yes, it's nice. It's nice, but...
You do if you're watching something like One Piece that's got like 2,000 episodes.
Okay, Gary, that's for insane people, okay? I'll talk about normal people. But yeah, that is nice, but it's not necessary. Like, the actual digital purchase that we bought, yeah, they need to transfer over. So I hope they figure out a way to do so. But other than that, I still don't know why they're splitting it. I know certain people that prefer Funimation over Crunchyroll because it's just how they lay out is way better. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, for me, I think the biggest problem is that both of those apps suck. Like, they have so many problems all the goddamn time. All the time. And I hate it. Like, half the time, Crunchyroll won't even load on my TV. I have to, like, uninstall the app and reinstall it just so I can fucking continue watching. Because it just won't load.
I don't know. I you know what? I'm looking into it. Crunchyroll is going down in price in England. Oh, no, is that months? A couple of months? Damn it, it was last year. Yeah. I don't know what price is, but it went down in price here recently. So I don't know if it's going to go up again. But yeah, it actually went down here. Yeah, it used to be £10 a month, and now it's £5.99.
Oh, nice. It's essentially the same price that Funimation was. I think Funimation was like $7 a month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was very manageable for me. Not so much anymore. Sorry, I'm not paying Final Fantasy 14 subscription price a month to watch anime. Counting on you, Alfonso. Well, some more bad news. At least some people consider this bad news. One Punch Man is returning for season 3. The anime, which got some very negative press come season 2 because of the change to the animation studio and the animation falling so badly compared to the first one. The first season, at least. Well, fans are not going to be happy because JC Staff is returning to do the animation for season 3. This is the same studio that did the animation for season 2. So people weren't happy. They were hoping that they'd go back to Madhouse, who animated the first season, but apparently that is not happening. A teaser trailer was released for One Punch Man Season 3, which has been taking a long time to get going. Season 2 ended in 2019, so it's been almost 4 years now.
Blame the fact that the author posts like one chapter every bajillion months.
You remember that hurts too, yeah.
Remember the fact that One Punch Man, if I'm rightly, is a webcomic in Japan that then gets touched up and released as an actual manga outside of Japan by other people.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that.
And then that is then converted into, if I'm rightly, the webcomic version of One Punch Man was created in 2009. Yeah, and it was a webcomic over there, and then that has been slowly converted into an actual manga outside of the webcomic. I don't know if the webcomic is it still going. In 2019, webcomic started up again. So yeah, it's nice. Still going. So,
I mean, got a video game. Not a very good video game, but they got one.
I mean, it's better than that other game that kept, wasn't it?
Jujutsu Kaisen, yeah. Has had zero players for like 3 days now on Steam.
Hey, only slightly less than Suicide Squad. Good job.
Slightly less. I don't know. 1,000 people to 0 people is still a lot of people.
Still sad. But yeah, it has 150 chapters of the webcomic.
Nice.
Then the manga is remade by someone called Yusuke Muruta, and that is then published, and then Viz then publishes that. And then, of course, the anime is adapted version of the manga. So the manga is an adapted version of the webcomic, and the anime is an adapted version of the manga. So, there you go.
Alrighty. Well, I gotta watch One Punch Man, just to see what it is.
You've never seen it.
I never seen it. I just thought people were angry with it.
Haven't we suggested it in the past?
No.
I thought we have.
No, we never have.
No, we never did.
Okay, well.
This makes my job so much easier.
We haven't done either season?
We've done nothing with it, no.
Okay, well, now, is it my week?
Yeah. That's why I said I just made your job so much easier.
Thanks.
Unless, of course, you had something else in mind, which is fine.
No, I was thinking of Kaizen, to be honest, because I've never watched that myself. But
You'll Kaizen. Have a little time to figure it out, man. Moving on. Something really cool that I wanted to bring up because I watched it and nobody else did. Which is fine. But if you haven't watched it and you have Netflix, Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai anime is now available on Netflix for you to watch. Please do, because it's so fucking good. It's so good. Trust me when I tell you. It has one of the best fights and one of the best transformations since, what was the best Dragon Ball animation? I don't even remember. Transformation. What's your guys' favorite Dragon Ball transformation?
Super Saiyan 3.
Super Saiyan 3 was pretty good.
Kaioken?
Oh, interesting. All right. Well,
I like Kaioken.
It matches those, if not better. And it has an amazing fight scene that's so Dragon Ball without the Dragon Ball characters, it'll blow your mind. Trust me. Just watch it. It's long. I know it's like 70 episodes. But
wow, Gary,
it's so worth it. Well, you'll watch it in an afternoon. What's your problem?
And I guarantee that fight. That fight in transformation is like mid season, right? Like mid episode, like 35 episodes in.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah, that's not saying the rest of the fights in the show aren't good. Like almost every fight in that anime is really well done and well animated. Just trust me. it looks cartoony. It looks like a child's cartoon. The characters look all goofy and shit. They got weird ass names, but trust me, it's a really fucking good anime. Any other news you guys wanted to bring up?
I mean, there's Dragon Ball.
What Dragon Ball news?
Wasn't it a manga we've seen Goku and Gohan? Did that come out yet?
I think we talked about that already, man. Oh, wait, we haven't talked about that, huh?
No.
Oh, man. Well, Ben and I skimmed through it last week a little bit, just on our own time.
Yeah.
My bad. All right, yeah, Dragon Ball manga. Continuing with Goku arriving back on Earth, says feeling Gohan's key from his beast transformation. Goku essentially tells Gohan, "Hey, let's fight." And then he notices Trunks and Goten there with their goofy outfits, and he also notices the car with the Red Ribbon Army and Carmine. But he doesn't seem to pay attention or care about them. He invites everybody he invites Gohan, Goten, and Trunks to go to Beerus's planet with him so they can fight. So he puts Goten and Trunks in the car along with Gohan. And
yeah. Well, no, first Gohan goes off to get some clothes.
Oh, yeah, Gohan goes to get clothes. But Carmine and, you know, his lackey are forced into the car again, and they're like, oh, wait, they're trying to get away. And then Goten and Trunks get in the car, and they're like, oh, what the hell are we supposed to do? But Goku instant transmissions everybody to King Kai's planet with the car. Yeah. So Carmine is on Beerus's planet now, and obviously he's fucking terrified.
I thought the planet had a higher gravity than Earth. Surely they just get crushed.
I thought so too, but I'm trying to remember, didn't Whis create a shield around the planet for when Vegeta was fighting Brawly?
Probably, but still.
Remember. Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember if they ever said that, if Beerus' planet has higher gravity or not.
I mean, nearly all the other planets that have been smaller than Earth have had a higher gravity, right?
Like, but it's not really a planet, though, is it? It's like it's a triangle.
It's Beerus's planet, though. It might not be a planet, but it's his planet.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're right. I'm not sure. Nobody seems to be affected by it. Like, I would imagine Chile and her friend would be affected by it, too, but they seem to be okay.
I don't know, because Lemho was the right-hand man for King Cold, I found out. I looked into the backstory because, you know, I found it funny that, you know, the Broly, Chi Lai, and Lemho card?
Yeah.
Is the only one that has big bad bosses.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably because Lemho was actually part of the King Cold army, therefore technically counts as a big bad boss. But because Chi Lai was a bounty hunter and Lemho was a chef that was, even after that, was a chef. They probably would, you know, they could probably adapt to the gravity. Like, they probably used to different types of gravity. Like, I'm not saying it's, like, super heavy, but the fact that a normal person,
I don't know. No, you're probably right, but I think it's one of those things where they just kind of don't really care about it anymore. Because I don't think Goku or Vegeta ever mentioned Beerus's planet weighing any differently. You know, even in Super, when Goten and Trunks were transported to fight that slimy version of Vegeta. Yeah. You remember that? Like, they never said anything about gravity being any different on their planet, either.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure it's still a thing, but they just don't want to mention it anymore. Because it's not going to really change anything about it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but they
probably just forget, you know.
They probably forgot. But just, like, I would have found it funny if Goku teleported them then they just, like, collapsed.
Yeah, you know? I mean, he forgot a whole character existed in his prime. You know, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to forget gravity.
Oh, you got to remember, this isn't also... 70 years old. Remember that Toriyama doesn't write the manga.
I think he does. He does write the manga. No. It still says written by Akira Toriyama.
It's actually written by Torotaro, a lot of it. Okay, it's scripted out by Toriyama, But just like the anime, from what I know, it's kind of like Toriyama gives like a start, middle, and end. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my script I want you to do, but that's why the anime and manga are always slightly different from each other. It's because both of them are told, like, okay, it has to have these key story moments. These are the bits I want. But anything that leads up to those key story moments, you have, you know, say on.
Okay. Well, I'll say it right now. The anime version of Tournament of Power was infinitely better than the manga in every way. Roshi fighting Jiren. That was the only like exceptional moment.
Yeah, I was going to say, Roshi beating Jiren in UI mode was probably better in the manga.
Yeah, but everything else was...
So I can't say infinitely everything is bad, but that's one scene.
But I will say, you know, the Zamazu arc I felt in the manga was better told story-wise than it was in the anime. Especially because Gawasu was way more important in the story than he was in the anime.
And by the way, you too can now play as Zamasu and Goku Black in The Breakers, which is out now.
And Trunks wasn't so worthless, by the way, in the manga.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I found out The Breakers is region locked.
So stupid.
So, yeah.
Even if they're introducing crossplay, still region locked.
Yeah.
But anyways, he brings them all to the planet, and he's like, Gohan, let's fight. But then Gohan, I think it's Gohan, or is it Goku who recommends it? Actually, I think it's Goku. He actually recommends because he notices that Trunks and Goten have gotten stronger. And he's like, I want you guys to fight Gohan first. So Goten and Trunks individually start to fight Gohan, and they're holding their own against Gohan in Super Saiyan.
By the way, before we go on, we also learned that Piccolo named Gohan Beast Mode, so it's canonically called Beast.
And he also said that Piccolo is almost at the same level, right? Power wise.
No, he just said Piccolo's got an awesome new form. Okay. And Piccolo helped him learn how to use the ability.
To control it, yeah, because he just controls it right away now.
Yeah.
He's able to do whatever. Goten and Trunks are fighting, and they're pulling off some cool tag team moves against Gohan, and they kind of gain the upper hand for a little bit, but then Gohan turns ultimate, and we find out that wasn't even a name. They dubbed him ultimate. Goten and Trunks did, because they didn't have a name for his transformation. Because they tell him, hey, you went ultimate. He's like, what the heck are you talking about? I was like, we just started calling you ultimate, Gohan. So that's interesting. Some bit of information there.
Yeah.
Which is true. It's never been brought up ever before that.
Yeah. So Goten and Trunks gave him the name. So in order to match him, they're like, we're going to fuse. And everybody's like, the last time you fused, you got your ass kicked by Cell Max. And once again, they just poop on Gotenks. And I'm very upset about this. So badly. Because once again, they mess up the fusion and they become fat. At least make them be old this time. Why is always got to be fat Gotenks?
The skinny version. Yeah.
I do like the fact that they go up to the people recording it and be like, do you mind editing that out?
Yeah, because he goes fat. He's like, I guess we'll have to fight this way. And then Gohan just one-shots their ass. So you can edit that out, right? Yeah, that was pretty funny. But yeah, I'm so irritated. I want to see Gotenks in prime form again, man. Give me Mac Daddy. So that was disappointing to me. But yeah, after that, Goku steps up and he's like, let's do it. So Goku goes Ultra Instinct, if I remember correctly. And then Gohan goes Beast Mode, and Beast Mode shocks them. Goku's like, holy shit, this power. Vegeta's shocked. Broly is in a comatose state watching it. Even Beerus is very surprised by the power. And I think Whis was as well. He transforms Beast and they start fighting. And again, to my utter disappointment, they are evenly matched. At least in this few moment panels that we got of them fighting, which I'm very upset about. Beerus is like, hey, Whis, put up a shield, because he already knows their power is going to destroy his planet. So Whis puts up a shield to protect the planet. But yeah, they're evenly matched.
At least Whis is there, so if the planet does get destroyed, Whis can just, like, Whis hacks
reverse
it. He doesn't want to do reverse time. Remember, it's against the rules for him to reverse time. He only made the one exception against Frieza.
He's still going to do it.
Yeah, maybe.
And I think it's against the rules for him to reverse time when it affects lives, because there's a lot of lives on the planet. When he reverses time on Beerus' planet, it's not really affecting anyone but them. And they will still be alive. They will be in the bubble. Like, the rest of the planet will be destroyed. He'll just be reversing time on the planet itself.
Mm, yeah.
Like, there is no one being involved in that. So.
Yeah. But yeah, Ben.
If that happens.
I'm disappointed. Because they made me believe that Gohan was more powerful than Ultra Instinct at this point. At least Goku. Because Piccolo even mentions that. I don't think even Goku or Vegeta could have beaten Cell Max. Obviously, that's just his assumption. That's him believing what he wants to believe. But yeah, your thoughts on this issue and Goku.
Goku and Vegeta have trained since Piccolo saw him last. So it'd be a bit weird if Piccolo had 100% accurate, like, knowledge of what Goku can do. Because I doubt... Like, yeah. So I'm not shocked that Goku is equal or not more powerful than Beast Gohan. Now, whether Beast Gohan will win via endurance, maybe. Just remember, UI Goku is still can't hold it for long, for the last we know. So if Beast could win from endurance, that'd be interesting.
But see, that's the thing. We still don't know how long he can use that form either.
Yeah.
How much of a power strain that form is for him?
Probably not. I'm going to guess it's probably not. But we'll see. The Beerus is so pissed off that the planet is getting destroyed. It's funny. And the fact that they think they can record the fight, like, you're not going to be able to catch any footage. It's just going to be space with the sounds of explosions.
Yeah. They tried it during the Cell games.
Yeah. There's going to be no footage. It's just going to be... The trees are going to explode randomly, and there'll be craters on the ground, and then all you'll hear on the footage is like bang, 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 bang. And even that is probably going to happen, like, delayed compared to the actual explosions. Because, you know, light travels faster. So...
I don't know. I feel like when he transformed and everybody's reaction to the transformation... Just made me believe that he was more powerful than them. At least that's how I took it. Like, they're so surprised by the power. Like they weren't even that surprised when Frieza turned golden. Like, Goku wasn't even surprised at the power level that he had gained. Mm. You know, they weren't even surprised when Frieza Black showed up and one-shotted both of them at full power, when they were at full power. You know? So when they felt his power... They felt shocked by it. That's why I assumed that he was at a level higher than them at that point. But I guess not. I don't know. Guess we'll see what happens in the next issue when their fight continues. But, Alfonso, anything you wanted to add?
It sounds like Black Frieza is the strongest after all. Gary, I don't know. We've been debating this, the whole thing between Frieza, Goku, Gohan, ever since Beast was in. You know, reveal, and now we get to this fight because it was again hinted that eventually it was going to fight, and now we're here and like they evenly match. So, what was all this point for? What was all this anticipation for? Was it not in? So, in truth, Frieza is the strongest out of all of them. I don't know. We just have to see.
I think Goku and Vegeta, I think at this point, realized that I think to them, before they knew of Gohan's power, that Brawly was their only shot. That's why they've been training Brawly. Because I think they believe that Brawly is the only one strong enough who can probably take down Frieza Black at that point. And I think that's why they've been training him for so hard. And that, and because they know Frieza is after him because of what he did to Frieza in the movie. Mm-hmm. But now that they have Gohan at that form, maybe they're probably like, oh, maybe we won't need to train Brawly so hard. Because you got to remember, they've been training Brawly this whole time. Yeah, they had that one big fight, but they had it without any transformation. It was just them in the base form.
By the way, I'm calling now that Goku's going down UI. Vegeta's going to get Ultra Ego. Broly's going to go Super Saiyan 4. He's going Super Saiyan 4. Might not be called Super Saiyan 4. It might not look Super Saiyan 4. But in the movie, Paraga said that he was gaining the power of his Azaru form while in base. So that's exactly what Super Saiyan 4 was. Except for instead of Azaru, it was your Golden Azaru, which is a Super Saiyan, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm calling that Broly will gain a version of Super Saiyan 4. And we know that Gohan is going down this beast line. So Gohan has his beast to make him unique. That way, each Super Saiyan has their own uniqueness in a way. And Goten and Trunks have their fusion, which I'm hoping they perfect at some point. And that's their... I know that's not unique because Vegito, but it is kind of in the sense of the anime. Because
I feel like Super Saiyan 3 needs its perfected form. And none of them have been able to perfect it. Except for, I believe, Gotenks was the only one. Because Goku didn't perfect Super Saiyan 3. Because remember, he kept losing power when he was fighting Buu instead of gaining it. It's just such a power drain. Vegeta obviously skipped it. Gohan skipped it, went straight to Ultimate. Gotenks was the only one who really mastered it. And he was stronger than Buu. Super Buu, at least.
Time limit was against it. He was against the time limit.
Yeah, he was against it. And because he was a fucking child who took his time doing stupid shit. He could have easily won that fight whenever he wanted to. Mm-hmm. So I think they can make Super Saiyan 3 as Gotenks really useful. If they mastered it. Like perfection master. Which, I believe they did as kids. But as adults, I think it can be even more better. It does seem like they're bringing Goten and Trunks more into the story now, rather than just letting them be fucking Krillin and Tien. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they're going to play a more pivotal role eventually, even if it is as Gotenks. But you got to remember, like, they have no place to complain because they had to fuse to beat Brawly. You know, so is it really cheap? And at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if they have to fuse against Black Frieza. And Ben and I joked about this last time, like, Ultra Instinct Goku and Ultra Ego Vegito fusing, and, you know, they become, what, Ultra Ego or Ego Instinct Gogeta? Like, what happens there? But again, it's, like you said, Alfonso, it's constant speculation of what's to come. And I'm getting tired of waiting for what's to come. Get on this bitch. Frieza had three panels in the manga against Gas, and it was the most meaningful three panels the manga has had since the Tournament of Power ended.
That's true. That's true.
Alrighty, anything else?
No.
Alrighty. Let's get on to the anime. Alfonso, your recommendation was Spy X Family Season 2, which has been condensed to, what was it, 12 episodes?
12 episodes. Before you carry on, I just want to add, if anyone didn't know, I'm sorry I don't remember the voice actor's name, but the voice actor who voices Anya, she only recorded 2 episodes before going on maternity leave. Her replacement was Britton April. If you don't know who that is, she's well known, but she's best known for voicing Historia and Krista in Attack on Titans.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Yeah. She did a fantastic job then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Cool. Yeah, no, she. I didn't even know the voice changed. Yeah, that she did a great job mimicking the voice.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. That's all everyone needs to know.
But yeah, Season 2. How can I say this without offending people? we're going to have differing opinions on this season, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Though I still thought it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I also felt it was very pointless in the overall story of
mm-hmm.
my ex-family, mm-hmm. because I felt outside of the three episodes on the cruise ship, which yeah. kind of were just their own thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It had really nothing to do with the overall story of him using Anya to make friends with, you know, the kids so he can kind of infiltrate and find out what's going on with his dad, which is what the whole point of the show was in the first season. None of that really mattered here. And in fact, a lot of the episodes I felt were very filler episodes.
Yeah. That, from what I read, that's the route they're going on to now. They're trying to drag it out. As you can see, this season two had nothing to do with the mission. The movie, which they mostly focus on, has to do with the mission, but it has nothing to do with the current mission that he's in right now. Like, mm-hmm. it has to do with them traveling to help Anya get another star, but it takes a story totally different that's away from the mission. So it does continue with the mission, but then again, they drift away from the mission to fix the problem that Anya kind of created. And then they say in season three will go back into what season one started. So they're going all over the place. I don't like this path, but I see why they're doing it, because again, it's fan service.
Yeah, like you said, it's extending the story. Because I felt this is, I feel like it happens with a lot of animes where they have this concept. They don't know if people are going to accept this concept, so they don't want to write it in a way where, oh, we're planning like 6-7 seasons and nobody watches it and you're stuck with the cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they're writing it for a season at a time rather than looking into the future. At this point, they should know it's going to be successful. That's probably why they're going mm-hmm. back with season three to the main mission. But, you know, yeah. there's one thing that I did want a lot of from season one, which is more of
Yor's
story and her background.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, the best parts of the season obviously focused on her on the cruise mm-hmm. ship.
Yeah.
Which was great. And my God, the fight scenes in there were phenomenal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very happy about that. I love the dog. You know, they dedicated two episodes to what's the dog's name? I forget the dog's
Bond.
Name. Bond. They dedicated two episodes to Bond, which is cool. You know, if you have, I feel, a 24 episode season.
Yeah.
Where you have the time for that.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I love those episodes, like I said, they just didn't do anything for the story at all.
Especially the two story, one episode ones where they broke up, you know, the episode into two different stories. I didn't care for them. They were funny. My favorite one was the macaron one, because mm-hmm. Anya eats it and she's going full blast on the paper like she knows everything. She fails. Oh, that was the best one. Oh boy.
Yeah.
And then obviously the brother, like I wish he had more scenes.
He had a whole episode dedicated to him, but it was more of his serious form rather than his psycho obsessed with his sister.
Which I love, because the part when he sees her on the train and he's waving, but then when the train is leaving, he wants to run after the train. Yeah. Oh boy. But yeah, like you said, majority of the episodes focus on the cruise. I like that Yor got a big, you know, it revolved around her. I also like the chemistry between Twilight and Anya. Anya knows that Yor's in trouble and she's trying to get away from Twilight, but she can't because he is just too good at what he does. But he's contemplating because he's trying to be a good father, and they're just going back and forth.
And she knows it, and she does the opposite to make him think he's good. He's like, oh, what the hell? So good.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, no, they all did a fantastic job. I love that they kind of explored Yor's future in a way where she's contemplating, like, should mm-hmm. this be my last job? Do I want to just be a mom, because she seems to be enjoying that to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're pretty essentially telling her, you know, they're not telling her, but we're kind of understanding, like, there's really no way out for her with this life. You know, she's never going to get out. So, yeah, I felt those episodes were great. I really did enjoy, and again, the fight scenes and, you know, her essentially losing and then Anya accidentally helping her.
with her dagger. Yeah, yeah. It's so good.
And then she just standing like, did I do anything? Did it work? And it worked in like the dumbest way. The fucking guy trips on it, kills his own friend. Ben, you said you loved the season more than the first one. Please tell us your thoughts.
It's been a while since I've watched it now, but yes, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the boat stuff. Like, I thought it was kind of cute. And I think it started strong. Like, I thought I actually really liked the first episode where, like, he's worried.
She got shot.
The first episode where she got shot. He got shot. She got shot. And he was, like, pissed. He thought that like, he had angered her and spent the whole day trying to be nice to her, but she was just trying to not sit down because her bum was hurting her. And then she got poison.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the poison.
Then she gets poisoned, and that poison just nullifies the pain. Like, and then she gets home, and the poison's worn off, and she's angry again. Like, yeah.
He's like, what the hell did I do?
Yeah. But then I liked a lot of the boat stuff, especially the ones where, you know, I can't remember the name of the kid. Anna, right?
Yeah, Anya.
Yeah, Anya got like the starlight because she is the star of a lot of the show. And yeah, the one episodes with the dog were good, but I felt like, as you said, there wasn't enough episodes in the season. It felt a bit weird having ones dedicated to the dog. I think
they can incorporate the dog into the storyline rather than just giving him his own episodes, you know? Like, he should be helping out in the same ways that Anya is.
Yeah. Because really, he didn't really appear much. And the only episode I remember with the dog that much was the one with the, you know, the building on fire and stuff like that, where he's trying to be a good boy because he's worried that he might be put down or whatever. And he's like trying to do the best he can, but by doing the best he can, he's causing the problems for most of the time.
Uh-huh.
Like where he's like, oh no, that person's going to drop their ice cream. I will stop them from dropping their ice cream. And then by trying to stop them from dropping their ice cream, they drop their ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I think the first one was when Twyla forgets to buy dog food. So Yor is going to cook for him. And he like imagines himself dying. Well, he knows he's going to die because he sees it. So he tries to get Twilight to come home as soon as possible, and they infiltrate the building together and take out the bad guys. Yeah.
He's like, your sense of smell really helps. He's like, yeah, sure, sense of smell. That's how I but no, I enjoyed it overall. I thought it was a cute. I didn't watch it to follow the main, as you said, there's the main story of him infiltrating. I just liked it as a season. So that's just me. I'll be honest, I even forgot that was a thing. That was a plot thread. So, until you just mentioned it, I forgot that was a thing that was a thing that was supposed to happen. So,
yeah. I mean, I kind of just look at it like there's only so much you can drag on with a story like this. Where eventually, you know, it's going to start getting stale if the story's not moving forward. So that's kind of the reason I brought up, like, this season literally had nothing of that. 12 episodes, and they didn't even mention his main mission. Which I'm assuming is going to lead eventually to the point where, you know, Yor is hired to take out Twilight, you know, and that's when they discover who they really are. I mean, it has to lead to that eventually, right? And it's going to come down to Anya getting in the way of them. Do they really give a shit about her? And I feel like it's going to be a very emotional moment in the show when they get to that point. But clearly, you know, the show became more successful than they imagined, so they're going to obviously drag it out as much as they can. They just have to be careful not to drag it too much where people start losing interest.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
because that will happen, and it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was great.
For what it does. For me, yeah, personally, I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10. So, Alfonso?
I'm going to give it a 9 for the simple fact that we only got 12 episodes instead of, you know, 2 parts for one season. Not focused on the mission. I also forgot one of my other favorite parts is towards the end where they like showing different characters of what they're doing. And your brother is eating the muffins, those poison muffins, and he's spitting out blood at the same time. I was like, what is wrong with him? But yeah, I don't like this method. I wish it was, you know, 2 parts again, like season 1. That's the thing. A lot of people's not sure if they're going to do that again with part 3. I know why they didn't do it for season 2. It's because they put a lot of their focus on the movie. But yeah, we just have to see. But yeah, I'm going to give it a 9.
Ben?
I think I'm also going to give it a 9 out of 10. I just enjoyed it overall. It was a fun anime.
Alrighty. Ben, I hope you had time to think.
I mean, I'm probably going to do One Punch Man. Smut?
One Punch Man? Doesn't sound smutty to me.
No, I mean, you could think of his bald head as a boob.
Sure. I mean, it's very, very rocky boob, but sure. Alrighty, One Punch Man. I'm guessing just season 1. Should we just do both seasons at this point? Who knows how long it's going to be until we come back?
Nah, we'll just do season 1.
Alright, One Punch Man, season 1.
That way one of us can claim season 2 if we just want to in the future, because it's there.
Alrighty, sounds wonderful.
But I swear we've done it already. I swear we've done this already.
Yeah, no, we did it. I didn't watch it. And I apologize.
No, we did it.
Alrighty.
One second. Maybe we didn't do it for this, but maybe it was when Klaus was still around. Maybe it was one of our weekly shows.
Maybe.
Because I swear I watched it because of this show. I don't think I watched it because of, you know, just because. But before we end, by the way, there's a couple more things I want to add.
Yeah, please.
The new Dragon Ball TCG card game is out now on PC. There's some issues on the PC client, but that you can now play the TCG game on your PC. Hopefully,
no mobile version yet.
No mobile version yet. Just the,
damn
just
it. On...
If you buy physical booster packs or card physical booster packs or starter decks, you actually get a code card, which will then unlock the pack in game. So I've got loads. I've got like 30 in front of me. I've used a couple already.
Nice.
So yeah, if you use and I went to a tournament and I won, so I've got a gold Vegeta card.
Yeah, baby.
Which, by the way, is worth about $500 right now. So.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Hey, now you can with that. If you sell that card, you can get 19 inches of Sephiroth.
Yeah, I could, but I'm not going to, because the card is only going up in price. So
then you can have, you know, what is it? What's 19 plus 19?
38. Yeah.
38 inches of Sephiroth. Combine the two.
At that point, he's just going to be how? One second. How many? How many? At that point, he's 38 inches of Sephiroth is half my height.
There you go.
All you need is 4 Sephiroths. And then you'll have 1 me. Wait, no, that's wrong. That's a lot. No, Google, I'm not that short. I'm that short. 66 inches. Sorry. I'm 66 inches tall.
By the way, I'm going to call it right now. When part 3 comes out, I'm calling this the collector's edition statue is going to be Cloud fighting Sephiroth. Probably.
Yeah.
The image where he's jumping at him with the sword that's on the discs. Have you seen the physical discs?
Yeah, I've seen the physical disc. Yeah. The physical disc that they printed wrong in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I guarantee you that's going to be the statue. That or it's going to be Zen. Yeah.
I think it's. It might even be, for all we know, it might even just be the rebirth cover image as a statue. Sephiroth in the That'd middle, cool. Cloud and Zack to the side.
That's going to be like $2,000. That's three statues there.
Yeah.
I'll still probably buy it because I'm a fool.
Anyway, you can find me at MG_Chili and on Twitch.tv / Moogle Gram Radio.
Alrighty. Alfonso, where can people reach you?
Thank you guys for having me on. I'm glad you liked the recommendation. You can follow me on Twitter at Ali107.
Alrighty. You can reach me on Twitter at Gaglaush. That's GAGLAUSH. Shout out to you guys as always. Thanks for joining me. Shout out to all the anime out there. Please enjoy it. Please continue to make great anime. Oh shit, I actually forgot something. We probably should bring this up since it is the anime podcast. Because Dragon Ball had two big gaming announcements that happened essentially the same day. Dragon Ball FighterZ, PS5 and Xbox Series X versions had a shadow drop. Those games are now available for purchase natively for the PS5 and Series X and S. So get it if you want to. I don't think there's a free upgrade. I didn't see one. Is there a free upgrade? Is it free?
There should be a free upgrade, yeah. If you own FighterZ, you should be able to upgrade it for free.
I don't believe it comes with rollback netcode yet, but I know it's still coming because they announced rollback netcode a long time ago.
Yeah, FighterZ is a free upgrade if you own on PS4 and Xbox. And no, rollback is out now.
Oh, yeah, rollback is out now, yeah. Does it come with any of the DLC or still individual purchases?
God damn Those are still individual. I'm guessing that you've already purchased... If you already purchased the DLC, it's probably included, but it's not like a collector's edition. You're just getting the base game upgraded, and then anything you own, you get.
Well, speaking of DLC, the other announcement, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 is coming natively for PS5 and Xbox Series X and S on May 24th, 2024. This game is almost 10 years old. It's finally coming to current gen consoles. Ben, I know you love this game. Yeah. You know everything about it. Does this one come with the DLCs? Because there's a lot of them.
Probably not. I'm going to go with no.
That's it. Details on the upgrade and save data transfer instructions will be announced at a later date. So no info yet, just the announcement and the release.
Yes, it's a free update if you own Xenoverse 2 already.
Yeah, so yep, it is a free upgrade. Yep, that's nice.
So,
and you can transfer your save from the PS4 and Xbox One version, so that's good.
Yeah.
But hopefully it comes with the DLC, at least half of it. Please, that game's got a lot of DLC. But yes, Xenoverse 2 finally coming to PlayStation 5 and Series X and S. Gonna be a big year for Dragon Ball games, right? If Sparkling Zero does somehow make 2024, that's essentially three Dragon Ball games releasing on the PS5. That's pretty cool.
Very nice. In total, if you count the mobile game, not mobile, but the card game as well.
Yeah, I hope it comes to mobile. I want to play it on my mobile. Alrighty. That was the last two things I forgot to mention. Sorry. Alrighty. We're done. We're out. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.